With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah. lives apart. Since we have these hearts full of each other's love, now and forever, my heart will be yours.
Green County, Pennsylvania, was unknown to paranormal enthusiasts until the Kevin Paul Amazon bestseller, Haunted Hills and Hollows, What Lurks in Green County, Pennsylvania, revealed the phenomena lurking in and the haunted history of the southwestern corner of the Keystone State. Even more high strangeness can be found in Book 2 of the series, Kevin Paul's Haunted Hills and Hollows 2, still lurking in Greene County, Pennsylvania. One thing is certain, it is nearly impossible to be alone in Greene County. These riveting books, Haunted Hills and Hollows and Haunted Hills and Hollows 2, by author Kevin Paul, in paperback, Kindle, and audiobooks, are available now on Amazon. Night Dreams Talk Radio, After Dark, wants to give a big shout out to all the truckers that listen to our show.
All right.
Night Dreams Talk Radio would like to say a big thank you for listening to Gary and his guest. Gary brings back paranormal talk radio like you remember.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Hey, that is me. Well, it's Friday. We've made it through the whole week. Well, people are saying, I'm getting messages here on Messenger. They can't see what the title is. Well, on all the apps, everything is right. On YouTube, the computer froze. I had to restart it. All the info was lost. So after the show, I'll put all the guest information on the YouTube side. But on Apple, iHeart, and all that, everything else is right. Well, in the news, another asteroid came by Earth yesterday, and this one was closer than the GPS satellites. It was between the satellites and the Earth, and that is kind of scary. James, think about an asteroid they didn't see again till after it zipped by, and I'll tell you what, between the satellites and Earth, that's pretty close.
That is pretty close. Yeah, another thing I've often thought about with these asteroids coming in, what if they take out some satellites? Boy, what would we think then? But yeah, these asteroids, I'll tell you, it seems to be routine. 1, 2, 3 a week that's coming in, we don't see them to the last minute. They say, well, it's not going to hit, and then they end up hitting, luckily, in the ocean. But even that one that was the size of the Eiffel Tower, I mean, that's you're talking some serious size asteroids that can do some damage.
Now, I'm not so much worried about that as that new comet is heading towards Earth that is 16 miles wide. That is what I have to really, and everybody should be kind of concerned. Antarctica ice shelf is collapsing now at a record rate. And is that something that's going to be our future, that the ice shelves are going to be gone? That is also scary because it's now been heating up. Like I mentioned the other day, the temperatures and Antarctica was about 70 degrees higher than normal. That is really crazy. Well, a Tennessee man, well, not Florida, but a guy from Tennessee, got his shotgun out, and he started shooting at his neighbor's house. When the police got there, they naturally took the shotgun away, and they were asking the guy, what were you shooting at? Why were you shooting at your neighbor's house? And he said, I wasn't shooting at the house. It was the ETs that talked to me telepathically. I was trying to get rid of them. James, I wouldn't want to be in that house he was shooting a shotgun at.
No, he's one of those that shoot first and ask questions later, and it sounds like he's got these voices in his head that's telling him these things, that's provoking him, and that is scary. But what a defense that would be, you know? Hey, I was shooting at the aliens that was talking to me. I wouldn't even want to be his neighbor. I mean, wow, ouch. Thank you. No thanks.
I wouldn't want to be his attorney defending him in court. I'll tell you that one. Well, again, the Congress and the Senate is going to release some more information about UFOs, and it's going to be on about the shape, sizes, and all this stuff, and more of the unexplained. But, you know, here's the thing. The Congress and the Senate get a much in-depth, more detailed information than the public does. I mean, we're only getting a little teeny bit of it where they're getting the actual facts. So that's kind of interesting. Well, you know, the Earth core is emitting signals like clockwork. Every 8 years, it's sending out radio waves. Now, you know, just recently they said, you know, the core of the Earth, they really now are trying to figure out what is really what it is, because in the center of the Earth, where they thought it was all this molten lava and all this molten, you know, iron and all this stuff, there's two great big blobs in the very center of the Earth, opposite of each other. So they don't even know what that is, but they're trying to figure that out. Now, could you imagine you take your wife out to dinner? You go out and watch a movie. Now it's getting late. You come home. You live kind of out in the woods. You get into your bed. Nothing's in your bedroom. You know, you take your clothes off. You crawl into bed. No, I don't know if they made whoopee or not. So don't even ask that one, James. But they go to sleep. Then they wake up. And when they go to get dressed, at the foot of their bed, there's a giant bear sleeping and snoring. Now, that is kind of interesting.
That is more than interesting. Let me tell you, over the last 3+ years here, we've had more stories about bears, but they are coming into people's houses more and more. I mean, can you imagine, Gary? Think about it. You wake up, and there's a big bear staring at you. I mean, what? You wouldn't even make it to the bathroom in time. I knew you, but that's something that's a whole new realm.
Well, first thing I would do is I'd say, hey, Linda, when did you get this bear rug? And I'd probably step on it. That would be the first mistake, because, you know, who knows what the bear is going to do when you step on it. But could you imagine the bear somehow got in the house during the middle of the night, you know, cuddled up in their bedroom, and just went to bed at the foot of their bed? Well, you know, like we were saying before we went on the air, that is definitely better than having the bear decided it's going to sleep by your feet.
It is. And listen, it could have been a lot worse. They could have raided their fridge and drank all their beer, then woke up with the bear with a hangover at your bed, miserable. So that whole, oh boy, so many things could have went wrong with that. That's amazing. Jeez.
Well, maybe they didn't have any beer, and the bear went over to their neighbor's house, raided their refrigerator of all the beer, and then got lost, and then ended up back at the wrong house.
Yeah, I'd be finding out how the bear got in my house. That is amazing. If they're starting to open up doors now, look out.
Well, I don't know how they open it. They just might just kind of push into it. I mean, they got a lot of weight behind them. But, you know, we've had cases here, you know, like one, you know, a bear was falling asleep on the couch after drinking the guy's entire stock of beer out of his refrigerator. Him and his wife came home. There's a bear snoring away on their couch. Ah, and then how about the one, it's been a couple of them where they raided into where they have their beer in their man cave, their garage, and the refrigerator. And remember that one bear that, you know, consumed a case of beer?
Oh, yeah. See, consumed a case of beer. And then you mentioned the one on the couch. The guy almost sat on the bear. He woke up in the morning, come down, he didn't even notice it right off. There was a bear sleeping on his couch. And that one had, you know, emptied his fridge of his beer, too. Boy, they've got a nose for that beer. Probably that one beer with the bear on it, too.
Oh, well, you know what? I wouldn't want a bear sleeping on my couch, you know, because they're not potty trained. And if they've been drinking a lot of beer, you know, you're not going to get that smell out of that couch.
No, and they're going to be a little bit miserable with a little bit of a hangover. What happens when the beer runs out? How do you maintain a bear that wants more beer?
You take him down to the liquor store. I don't know what you do. I just find it unique that these bears just are getting more bold to come into people's houses. And you know, wouldn't you be creeped out if you got up in the morning and you go, gee, I don't remember buying a bear rug. And then you realize it's not a bear rug.
Yeah, I would be creeped out. I'm waiting for one of these bears to break into a house that somebody does have a bear rug. And how's that going to unfold?
I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. If I had the choice of a bear sleeping on the floor or a Bigfoot coming in and sleeping next to me, I'll take the bear any day.
Yeah, I bet you would. At least it's not a snake. Remember, we've had many stories on them, too. But these bears.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't know where we're going with these bears. Just will not stop. It's every week. There's another story where they're coming into a house, garages, campgrounds, getting your beard, eating your car. It's incredible.
Well, you know, have you noticed it's Idaho, Montana is where these bears are doing it.
Yeah, I have noticed that. Well, the dangerous part, too, listen, is when they're coming out of hibernation, you know they're hungry. They haven't eaten for a while. I sure wouldn't want to come across a drunken, hungry bear out of hibernation that's on my couch. No, thank you.
No, I wouldn't want it to either. Anyway, we'll be back with a great guest tonight. We're going to talk about monsters, you know, strange creatures in New Zealand. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Echoes of Eden by Paul Wallace. What secrets of human potential lie hidden in the world's ancestral narratives? How are they connected with God, the Bible, and ET contact? From U.S. Senate briefings to ancient African ceremonies, from strange phenomena in Australia and Iraq to anomalies in Brazil and ancient Greece, the Eden series takes you around the world to discover why governments, military, and intelligence are interested in archaeology and initiation practices, and why you should be too. And what are the implications for you and me? To buy Echoes of Eden, The Scars of Eden, and Escaping from Eden, go to Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Echoes of Eden is endorsed by George Noory. Paul has done it again with his Eden series, delving deep into the power of the mind to do incredible things. Did you know Night Dreams Talk Radio can promote your product or service? And it will be heard by one of the largest audiences in paranormal talk radio. Contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com or go to our main webpage and use the contact box at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember. With your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, here's Gary.
And we are back. First thing I want to say, we're only going to be on for an hour tonight because I have a commitment. I got to take my wife out here to dinner and all that here tonight. So there'll be no call-ins. And, you know, I told everybody we're going to have call-ins tonight. But you know what? I haven't taken my wife out for dinner for 3 years. And I'll tell you what, I better take her out or I'm going to be sleeping in the studio. Well, James, what can you say about the guest here tonight?
Well, our guest tonight is Peter Hassel, and Peter is a stuntman from New Zealand who also, well, he has been researching poltergeist, UFOs, cryptids, and monsters, and many other strange and paranormal things for 45-plus years.
Well, Peter, how are you doing? And I want to welcome you back onto the show, my friend.
Thanks, Gary. I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
Well, what can you tell us about, you know, the monsters and stuff of New Zealand? I mean, do you have the same type of monsters we have here in the States, like Bigfoot or anything like that?
Yep, we do have a lot of the same ones. There are a couple which we don't have. Just before I get into the monsters, though, it was interesting what you're saying about the bears.
Oh, yeah, the bears. Yeah, isn't that kind of creepy?
Yeah, what were the two states most of the things were happening in?
It's Idaho and Montana.
Oh, okay. Well, one of my favorite funny videos, if you like, which is on YouTube, it's called Brown Bear Thief Caught Stealing Dumpster. And in the description it says it's Colorado Springs.
Oh, wow.
Outside a restaurant bear. And this bear is nosing around the back of a restaurant, a couple of big dumpsters, gets up on its back legs and grabs the edge of one and starts dragging it off on the, because it's on wheels.
So, oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, so he's not just foraging for food in the dumpster, he's dragging it off to do it somewhere else at his leisure.
Well, for he doesn't get caught getting into it. But could you, though, could you imagine, though, Peter, you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, or you say to your wife, when did you buy this rug? Where did you get this bear rug? I don't want this bear rug in there. What do you mean, honey? I don't have a bear rug. I didn't buy anything. And then you realize you got company. I mean, could you imagine the shock of those people waking up and finding a bear snoring away?
Absolutely. And I've just spotted another new one, smarter than average black bear wheels trash bin up driveway of Florida home. So I don't know, the bears are getting smarter, so we better watch out.
Don't keep beer in your garage. That's, you know, a lot of these stories we've been talking about for the last couple of years of these bears, but they come out of hibernation, you know, and they're looking for food, and somehow they like the smell of beer, it attracts them. And, you know, yep. Could you imagine, you come home, you drive up, and you're going to put your car in the garage, and you realize, look at all these cans of beer all over my floor of the garage. And then you realize there's a drunken bear there.
I think all I can say is I'm really glad that in New Zealand, or Aotearoa, New Zealand, we don't have any bears at all. We shouldn't have, and we don't have snakes at all either.
Oh, lucky. I'm
having said
there.
That, we do have reports of BHMs, big hairy monsters, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch type creatures. We also have reports of ABCs, anomalous big cats, and again, officially, you know, we do not have any lions, tigers, pumas, or anything of that nature in the country at all, or shouldn't have. We've got a range of reports of cryptids in the true sense, as in, you know, Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch type creatures, out of place animals in terms of big cats, some reports of snakes and so on, also reports of surviving extinct animals, the moa, which was a very large flightless bird in New Zealand, which supposedly became extinct between 500 and 1,000 years ago. So we have reports of all these types of things, and we also have a native Maori legend that's called the Taniwha, which is lake monsters. So we have a lot of reports of lake monsters and also sea monsters in New Zealand waters. So we've got quite a lot happening in our little country.
That sounds like it, but you know, before you go into it, you know, you're lucky you don't have snakes, as James will attest. You know, back here about less than a year ago, a guy went into a restaurant in Florida, a very expensive restaurant. Now, you know, in Florida, they have those huge snakes. We're talking the ones that can eat a goat, eat your dog. Besides alligators and spiders, I wouldn't want to live in Florida. But a guy went into the restroom at this very high-class restaurant. And the next thing they did, they heard the guy screaming. And one of these huge snakes came up from the sewer into the toilet and grabbed a hold of you-know-what. And besides, you know, them having the paramedics, the fire department there, the police there, could you imagine, besides the pain the guy was going through, the embarrassment?
Yes. Again, I'm very glad we don't have snakes in New Zealand, although we have had the odd sea snake wash up with warmer sea temperatures and things, and the odd one which gets snuck in through container bins from Australia and things, bringing goods over here. But they usually get caught at the borders. To put it in context, I thought this might be useful. I was having a hunt around on the internet earlier today, and I thought, how can I compare New Zealand to, you know, America, just to make it easier for all your American listeners. And I struck Colorado as a very close comparison. New Zealand is almost the same size land area as Colorado, and Colorado's got a population of 5.75 million. Now, population's 5.25 million. So very similar population density and total land area size. And I guess I must admit I didn't research this, but I'm sure there are cryptids, a variety of cryptids in Colorado, as there are in pretty much every state in America. I'm sure there are lake monsters and probably even Bigfoot reports, even in that part of America and various others. So, you know, in that context, New Zealand is very similar in size and population and land area to Colorado. And I guess a bit like Washington State too, we've got quite large areas of forest or native woods and things, something like perhaps Washington State, where potentially there could be large animals, you know, relatively rarely seen.
Well, I got to ask you a question, okay? As one of the people on chat asked you, how about dog men? Because, I mean, there's been reported a lot of in our country of dog men. How about in New Zealand? Anything like that?
No, we haven't had, you know, the werewolf-type things or the dogman-type things reported here. No, the only type of bipedal entity or creature, if you like, is the hairy mohawk, which is our version of the Australian Yowie or Bigfoot in the States, or Sasquatch in Canada. Exactly the same thing. And most of those reports, some come from the South Island, New Zealand's two main islands, the imaginatively titled North Island and South Island. We've got a few other smaller islands around as well. But the Coromandel area in the North Island is where most of the sightings of this mohel have been, although also some from down in the South Island. And that is, of course, truly anonymous because we're a couple of big islands. We were connected to Gondwana land millions of years ago, and New Zealand split off and drifted away eventually. But, you know, there shouldn't be any possibility of any large animals like that, which is why we don't have bears or officially big cats or anything of that nature.
So I got to ask you a question here, and then we got to go on a quick break, and then we'll come back. In your forest, do people, like here, a lot of people vanish, you know, in the national forest in our country. They go, hunters, people backpacking, campers, they go out there and they disappear, or part of their family disappears, and they usually don't find a trace. Do you have that type of problem in New Zealand?
It does happen to a small extent, not as much as even in accounting. US has got 66 times our population in total, but even taking that into account, we've had a few cases like that in New Zealand, and also small aircraft disappearing in forest areas and never being found. But again, you know, that could be accidents and things of that nature. You really don't know. But it's not to the same scale as what's happened in America, even taking into account the bigger land area and population that you have.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, Peter, we're going to take a 2-minute break. We'll be back with Peter. We're going to talk about cryptics in New Zealand. So stay tuned. Get yourself something nice and warm to drink. Prop your feet up on that, well, on that recliner. Put a log in that fire because it's going to get interesting. So stay tuned.
Did you know Night Dreams Talk Radio now has a great store? And now's the time to get that Night Dreamer, that cool Night Dreams tea, or Bigfoot mug. Night Dream Store has lots of awesome items to pick from, all for the Night Dreamer. For details, check out our show's website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Longtime UFO and Bigfoot researcher Stan Gordon is releasing his fourth casebook called Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. Included are many cases from across his decades of research, from Bigfoot to giant flying creatures, mini UFOs, aquatic beasts, to hairless, sickly-looking humanoids. Enjoy a journey into a realm that suggests that present-day sightings of monsters might be real, mystifying creatures, none of which are supposed to exist. Some cases include one of the creepiest crawling cryptids of all time. Was there an even stranger?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Your Mothman encounter near Pittsburgh in 1966. The small Bigfoot and the strange sphere of light. Tall, hairless humanoid with glowing yellow eyes that follows man to his house. Stan presents some startling cases that suggest that some of the unknown creatures being reported may be much stranger than just flesh and blood. Could some UFOs and even some cryptids possibly be visitors from another dimension? Order your copy now of Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. Stan's new book, as well as his other casebooks, are available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or visit his website at www.stangordon.info. Coming to you live and covering all time zones like a glove. Here's Gary Anderson on Night Dreams Talk Radio.
And we're back with Peter. Now, Peter, a question I have for you, too. Like, you have things that look like Bigfoot. Can you describe what what you've heard, what Bigfoot look like in New Zealand?
Well, essentially exactly the same as in America, just, perhaps 7 foot tall or so, hairy humanoid entity or whatever. There's really, all the different countries where these things are reported, be it the Yeti or abominable snowman in the Tibetan area, Yowie in Australia, Sasquatch and Bigfoot in Canada and America. People are seeing exactly the same things. It's just different regional or country names applied to them, basically. And I know you've got different regional names even for Bigfoot in the States. So, skunk ape in Florida and things like that. So people are seeing and reporting exactly the same things.
Now, in here, we have never found the remains of a Bigfoot or Yeti or whatever you want to call these things. How about in New Zealand? Has there been any trace of any of these creatures to prove that they exist?
Not of the Harry Mohau type thing, but there was a very interesting whole series of events in New Zealand way back in 1886 right through 1887, and that was called the Waikato Saurian Scare. And that was basically a large lizard-like creature, perhaps like an alligator or a crocodile even. There are some theories that it might have been a saltwater crocodile that got from Australia to New Zealand somehow eventually. And it was up to about 12 feet long. And there were multiple reports it was killed sheep. It made a loud noise at night that people heard, left tracks. A lot of people saw it. And there were various... the sighting sort of spread to other parts of the North Island as well over time. And there were a couple of supposed, actually three in all, supposed bodies found, or carcasses, which were found or killed by people, which were actually, some of them were exhibited around the country as being the body of a Waikato saurian. It would seem that they were all, from what we can tell, they were all things like elephant seals or unrelated animals. One was probably a slumbering sea leopard that was killed, shot and killed, and people tried to pass these off as the Waikato saurian creature that had been seen. Needless to say, New Zealand has no large lizards at all, or should not have any like that. But we do have another reports of another type of giant lizard in New Zealand called the Kumi, K-U-M-I, and that's been reported over many, many years throughout the country. We have all sorts of odd things which shouldn't be here that people keep seeing.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned, like monsters in the lakes and stuff like that. What type of monsters? Is it like the Loch Ness type of monster or some other type of monster in a lake?
No, most of them are, Nessie-type reported creatures. Lake monster reports tend to be fairly similar around the world. And, I mean, in America, you've got multiple reports of lake monsters in many different states. We've got various lakes in New Zealand. The closest one to me, it was a long time ago, but it's quite interesting, in Lake Waitawa, which is only about an hour's drive from where I live. And the lake itself now has got a lot of nutrients and things in it, so it's not any good for fish or anything, let alone anything bigger. But there were several reports of a taniwha described as more like a giant crocodile or large crocodile type animal, crocodile or alligator if you like, in that particular small lake. And it is fairly small, so that's quite interesting.
Well, here, one lake, it's Crater Lake in Oregon, which is, formed mm-hmm. from a volcano. And there for the years has been, reports like a Loch Ness type of monster in that lake.
Yep, they even did a movie, The Crater Lake Monster,
mm-hmm.
sort of in 1977. And sort of in the 70s, because cryptozoology was sort of pretty popular with Yeti and Nessie and things of that nature as well, and Bigfoot too. So there are a lot of documentaries and also fictional films, some of them based on real reports but perhaps exaggerated. So that was one. And again, it's interesting, like Native American Indians, Aborigines in Australia, Maoris in New Zealand, they all have legends about, the big hairy men, and the lake monsters and things. In Australia it's called a bunyip, in New Zealand it's called a taniwha, And again, it's essentially different names for the same reports of exactly the same types of animals, if you like.
Interesting and stuff like that. Again, has there been a report like with the Bigfoot? I got to ask you, is there any groups like here? There's a whole bunch of groups of people go out looking for Bigfoot. Do you have that same, you know, thing going on in New Zealand too?
There aren't any organized groups as such. There are a few individuals that are out there hunting cryptids. And also a good friend of mine, Tony Healy, he's been over here from Australia a few times and has done a lot of research here. And I've assisted him where I can. The only sort of organized groups of things as such are ghost hunting groups in the cities, but there aren't any organized cryptozoology type groups here, just a scattering of individuals.
Besides Bigfoot, what other type of monsters do you have?
Well, it's the other main thing which we have sightings of are all these big cats. An awful lot of big cats sightings in New Zealand.
Now, what type of cats are we talking about?
It's sort of a split between a black panther type and more a puma type. Although in Kaiapoi near Christchurch in the South Island in 1977, there appeared to be a tiger on the loose. It was seen by one woman, and tracks were found which were verified to be real, and also the noise of it roaring at night. And I investigated a sighting of a non-maned lion just outside Wellington near where I live back in 1994. That was particularly interesting.
Well, can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, the guy, he just got up early on Saturday morning, went into the kitchen, was making himself a cup of coffee, looked out the kitchen window and saw a lion. So it would have been like a female lion because it didn't have a mane, standing on a tree branch. The tree branch was parallel to the ground and just above the ground. And this thing was just standing on that, and the branch was bowed down under the weight of the thing. And he freaked out and he called the police because he thought, you know, someone had an illegal pet animal that had escaped somehow and it might kill someone. And this is quite bizarre. It's like in the very outer suburbs, about 15 minutes drive from the centre of Wellington City, our capital city. And I went out there and interviewed the guy, because they had the police helicopter up looking for it. And there were no other sightings of it, although some people did hear the roars of a lion. And this guy lived in a little dead-end cul-de-sac street, and a woman on the corner of that street in the main road, she had a very high brick wall around her property, and she had found big paw prints on her garden on the inside of that. And I tried to talk to her, but she really didn't want to talk about it. The interesting thing was the back of this man's property, you sort of went for a little bit of brush, trees and things, and it opened out into miles and miles and miles of open land, and then more brush and forest and everything. Because although he was in a suburb, it was like right on the edge of where the wilderness began, if you like, for quite a distance. Yeah, so that was quite an interesting one.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, could it have been somebody having an illegal animal? Or do you think it's something like that, you know, living in the woods?
I mean, it's certainly possible. It would seem to be the most logical, likely explanation, perhaps. But I do have some issues with it because these things keep being seen. No one ever catches them or finds a body or anything. And usually you have a few explanations trotted out. In America, it's that there was a circus train wreck decades earlier and some lions and panthers or whatever escaped and have been living in the wild and breeding ever since. In Australia, there's stories about supposedly American troops stationed there during the war brought over a cub that they had as a pet, or a couple of them, and they grew up and then they let them go. And the sort of a main sort of explanation along those lines applied to New Zealand is that foreign fishing vessels have one kept as a pet on the boat, and eventually they let it go or it escapes. So all I can say is there must have been quite a few foreign fishing vessels which had big cats on them that escaped, because they're seen over quite a large area of New Zealand and both our main islands, and they certainly couldn't swim across the Cook Strait, which separates the islands.
That is interesting. Now, how about like these reptile birds, huge birds? Has there been any sightings of huge birds, prehistoric-looking birds?
No, that's one type of thing we haven't had sightings of here. Just one last thing about big cats, which is quite interesting. Many years ago, I used to live in Auckland, in our North Island, which is our biggest city, and I moved to Wellington, the capital city, about 30 years ago. But when I was doing stunt training in Auckland, we used to use a quarry in a place about 30 miles north of Auckland to do training in, for car stuff and explosives and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And funnily enough, years after I was there training in that quarry doing stunt work, some people doing a civil defence exercise, like a disaster exercise for rescue stuff and everything, they saw a big cat in that very same quarry. So it was kind of about 25 years too early.
Yeah. So you have the hairy man or Bigfoot or Yeti. You got, you know, the cats. What else do you have?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention moas, because...
What is New that? Zealand's... I don't even know what that is. Can you explain what it is?
Okay, so a moa was a very tall, large, flightless bird in New Zealand. Kind of like an ostrich or an emu, but taller and bulkier, bigger. And they were supposedly hunted to extinction by... either the Maori or the Maoris who came to New Zealand. So they should have died out around roughly 800 years ago approximately. But people keep reporting seeing them. So, you know, there are sightings of them, mostly in the deep forests in the South Island. And, in fact, there is actually a... I mean, there have been sightings going right through even up until the modern day. And there is a very good free volume, almost encyclopedic series of books, free hardcover books, which were self-published by a investigator here in New Zealand. It's got all the details, every single report and everything, very well researched. So there's a huge amount of material on those. And, you know, it is possible. I guess it's a bit along the lines of the Tasmanian tiger in Australia, although that died out only about 100 years ago. It's, you know, something which did exist, was real, was here. And, you know, who knows, potentially there could be some still surviving in the more remote parts of New Zealand. I mean, there's another thing out there which could be out there, which is moose.
You mean, because are we talking like the moose?
Yeah, the Canadian, I think, moose.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
They're from Canada, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were actually introduced here roughly 100 years ago for hunting down in the South Island, because, you know, people wanted something big to hunt because we didn't have anything big to hunt. Yeah, we didn't have bears, we didn't have lions or anything. So they introduced moose in the Fiordland National Park area in the deep south of the South Island. And supposedly they were all hunted out by the 1940s, But again, it's a bit like Mars sightings. People keep seeing them and reporting them. And there are some not totally clear evidence with trail cam photos and foraging damage done to vegetation and so on, which indicates that there could be some of those still around. So more likely than mowers, perhaps, but yeah.
That is interesting. You know, here's the thing. Do you have, like, poisonous spiders there, or are you lucky and you don't even have those?
I'd love to say no, we don't have those, but we do have one. It's called the catapult spider. But honestly, your chances of ever coming across one are very, very slight. And it's not actually the spider bite itself which is poisonous. It's... you know, people can get that. Usually it would apparently just cause some pain, but that with a lot of spider bites and things, it can be infection and disease and that getting in there afterwards. That's in the dirt and things. It gets into it. But yeah, people often say Australia is a country full of things that want to kill you. Cane toads, snakes, poisonous spiders and giant spiders, crocodiles, you name it.
They have it all. You know that. They got the world's most deadly spiders. They got the most deadly snakes. I mean, you know, that's one place, you know, I wouldn't, no offense. It's a beautiful country. I had friends that have been there, but it's not for me. You know, I don't like snakes. I don't like spiders. I got bit once by, I don't know if you know what a brown recluse spider is, but, you know, they're more venomous than a rattlesnake. And I didn't realize I got bit. And within 3 days, I was in the hospital almost dying. I mean, you know, from a spider bite. And these spiders are, like, small. You wouldn't probably see it. That's how small they are. And, you know, but, you know, I would love, you know, it's only one other place I thought, you know, you don't run into snakes or spiders, and that's Hawaii.
Oh, they don't have any there?
No snakes or poisonous spiders at all.
Okay, I got to tell a quick story.
Okay, go for it.
My wife and I got to the Los Angeles in 2019, September 2019. She had never been to America before. I'd been there way back in 1987 and again in 1993. Places like San Francisco, Vegas, Los Angeles, and did a bit of driving around. But we had gone over for a 30 Seconds to Mars concert and event. It was a 3-day event with two concert nights. And it was great. It was a little boutique concert. It was like only about 500 or 600 people. And we've been expecting to have to see them with like 10,000 people, you know, in Europe or Australia or somewhere at some stage. But we had a special event on, and we did all that. And when we were walking back to the car parking area from afterwards, I was with Sean Ballantyne, who's a stuntman friend of mine from Los Angeles. And he turns on his phone, and he's shining the torch from his phone down at the ground in front of us as we're walking. And David, who was also with us, he says, "Sean, what are you doing?" Sean said, "Oh, I'm just looking for snakes." Because it was nighttime, we were walking through, you know, it was up in the hills, up in the forest, up the hills from Malibu Beach, but about 5 miles inland. Of course, my wife freaked out a bit because she's terrified of snakes.
Well, I know.
But it was so funny because, you know, you would never think to do something like that in New Zealand if you're walking around at night because, you know, there's nothing.
Well, you know, that is, maybe that's why they made Hercules and Xena, you know, the TV shows in New Zealand, because they didn't have to worry about getting bit. You know, I knew an actor, I know an actor, and he makes these he's in indie movies and B movies. And he was, twice it happened to him. He was in one movie where they were in a cave. And I guess there was a lady who was a specialist on poisonous snakes. She went in the cave to make sure that there was no rattlesnakes and stuff in there. And then they went in there and did their, you know, little scene. And he almost got bit by a rattlesnake. And then in another movie, they didn't really check out. There was an old mobile home, and it was, you know, an old farm which no one lived in for years, and they were making, you know, again, it was a sci-fi movie. And one of his scenes, he crawls underneath this mobile home, and he gets in there, and the next thing he notices, all these big, huge spiders. But then he notices there's a rattlesnake about, like, 2 feet away from him.
Well, look, if you, any of your listeners, you know, come to New Zealand, our borders are reopening. There's a little plug for you. And a lot of restrictions are being dropped over the next few months. And we're a very safe country with nothing. You know, if you go way, way, way out into the deep forests, you could come across a wild pig or boar, which might try and gore you. But that's about it. And you would really have to go out hunting for days looking for it. But other than that, you know, just our native walks and everything near our cities and all that, it's totally safe.
Yeah.
Unless you do happen to come across a hairy mohawk, we don't know how he might react.
Yeah, how often do these Bigfoot get spotted?
Reasonably often. Off and on. I mean, a lot of the time these days, you know, mainstream newspapers and things and TV and that don't pick up on reports of a lot of things these days. There's a lot of, obviously, especially the last 2 years with COVID, there's been a lot of other stuff going on in the world which grabs all the headlines. So most things tend to get reported online. People put stuff on YouTube or report it to various paranormal websites and so on. So there is a lot more material online, of course. It's interesting. I mean, Tony Healy, who I mentioned before, the researcher I know from Australia, he's mainly cryptozoology, but he's also co-written a book on poltergeists with Paul Cropper, and he's co-written a book on the Yowie with Paul as well. But it's funny, he just has a knack for finding witnesses. And he found a couple of recent interesting Bigfoot-type reports in New Zealand, both of which involved balls of light as well, which is one of those intriguing sort of connections which happen sometime. So, I think it's Stan Gordon from memory who's written about the, I think it was Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Around 1977, I think. That's right, I've just spied the book on my bookshelf, Stan Gordon, Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook, where there were lots of reports of UFOs, balls of light, and Bigfoot.
Oh, and you
all in the same areas at the same time.
Now, when you're talking of balls of light, we're talking orbs, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're often called orbs, excuse me, when people photograph them. But yeah, they're like, you know, ball lightning type things, usually about the size of about a foot across, moving around seemingly intelligently in many cases. But they're not ball lightning because they're not during storm conditions,
right,
or
right,
anything. So they're probably something different.
Now, hey, Peter, our time is up here tonight. Do you have anything you want to share, a website, books, or anything you want to share to the listeners?
Just if anyone wants to get in touch with me, my website for my stunt work is just called stuntperformer.co.nz. And that's just Stunt Performers, one word. So people can contact me through that. So I'm always interested in mysteries and things. And if you ever want to talk some other time, there is a lot of 410 events which happen in New Zealand.
Well, we aren't going to have
other types of mysteries, falls of objects from the sky and balls of light and various geological anomalies.
How about UFO sightings and ETs and abductions? Is there much in New Zealand about that?
Yep, so I've covered that off in an earlier talk with you, I think. It was about a few months back now. Was it December last year, maybe?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, I think it was December last year, so I covered a lot of UFO stuff here. But it's interesting that, you know, quite a few of these sort of mysteries sometimes seem to be interlinked in some ways, like the thing I mentioned with the BHMs and the balls of light as well. One of my favourite little mysteries is meteorites or fireballs and ball lightning hitting and damaging ships.
Very interesting. You know, I got to let you go, but you realize here in the last couple months, there's sure a lot of asteroids that are flying by Earth that they don't even realize is doing it to, like, the day of or the day before. Isn't that kind of scary?
Yep, and there's a lot more meteorites hitting ships than should be possible. But that's another story.
Yeah. That'd be scary. Well, Peter, I want to thank you so much. You can go, people, onto my website. You can check him out. There's a link to his website. Peter, you have a great weekend, will you?
Thanks, and thanks for having me on the show again, Gary.
Okay, great. Well, tomorrow on Thomas's show, we have Jason Offutt. He's going to talk about monsters all across the United States. And Sunday, James, who does Bob have on?
Well, Sunday, Bob's got Kristen Lee coming on, and she is the owner of the most haunted house, if not in Ohio, maybe United States, the Bel Air House. And she's going to be talking about the scary, how scary some of the things that she's experienced there.
And who do I have on Monday?
Nick Valenti, and he's had a face-to-face encounter with a real-life dog man. And he's going to be talking about, well, dog men.
I want to find out more about dogmen. You know, I've got people sending me pictures of dogmen. To me, they look like a giant German shepherd standing on 2 feet. I really want to know what these creatures actually look like and how they act. If they see somebody, how do they respond? Are they aggressive? Do people, you know, have pets missing around them? You know, if they're coming near a farm, are they missing, well, cattle? Are they missing chickens and all kinds of stuff? It makes me just wonder what they are. It's going to be a great show. On Tuesday, Cheryl Costa is going to be on talking about the paranormal. So, you know, stay tuned. Keep up with the show. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Tell your friends about our show. You can find us on every app out there. And I will be back on Monday, but make sure you listen to Tom Wortman tomorrow and Bob Clark on Sunday. Everybody have a good one. I'll catch you on the other side of the campground on Monday.